Some of you may remember back as far as August of 2023, we began a series on the book of 1 Peter. Now, I'm not real quick on getting some of these things done. We did 10 weeks back then, and then we ran into the holiday season, and we went through Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then after New Year's, we did 40 days in the poets. So we covered Psalms and Proverbs rather quickly, and then we came through Easter, and here we are. We're ready to conclude the book of 1 Peter. It's going to take us probably a few weeks. I won't say how many, because the first three chapters took me 10, so I don't know how long. But here's the amazing part. Is we deviate once in a while. We get started on a study, or we're going a direction, and for some reason we have to pause it. But God's word is just as real. What he's speaking to us out of 1 Peter is just as real 6 months later than when we started it, just like it's just as real as it was 2,000 years ago when it was written, right? God's word is alive. It speaks to us. So we're going to go back to 1 Peter and spend the next few weeks wrapping up this book, this word that was written to the church really several thousand years ago. I'm going to start this morning with reading a part of 1 Peter. Peter here he's quoting some from Isaiah, and he's quoting some from Psalms 34. I'm not going to put the words up this morning for this one. I want you to just listen to this. I want you to just hear this. Peter says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and would see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Peter says, don't repay evil for evil or wickedness for wickedness, because God is seeking those who are righteous. He's seeking those who want to do righteousness. As a matter of fact, his word says, even if we think we're right, his word says, God opposes us who are proud. He opposes those who are arrogant. He opposes those of us who want to repay evil for evil. So even though we think we're right, God says, don't walk there. Don't go down that road. And then Peter opens up. That's kind of the stage, if you will, for the conduct of followers of Christ. He's just setting the stage here. He opens this up in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. He says this, starting in verse 13. "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But, big word, but, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." Peter said, nobody's going to punish you for doing right. But if somebody does, don't be afraid. Don't walk in fear. But Pastor, what if? But Pastor, what if? Don't be afraid of that. Verse 15. But, don't be afraid of that. But in your hearts, revere Christ as the Lord. King James Version says, sanctify God in your hearts. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Peter says, listen, keep that, go back to that verse, if you will, please. Back one more slide. Sorry, I didn't. Peter says, if for some reason you find yourself being opposed for doing good. Now, Peter is not talking here about being opposed for doing something that is stupid, right? or being something that is foolish, or doing something that I set myself up for. Like, okay, and I'm sorry, but Todd's in the first three rows and he's leaving here pretty soon. So he's in, if you're in the first couple of rows, you're up for fair game pretty much. So I mean, Todd has come here for the last 20 months. Now, at any point along that way, Todd could have done something stupid, right? So Becker County Jail has allowed him to come out and allowed him to be part of the church and allowed him to be part here. And at any given time, he could have said, you know what? CF has a back door. I think I'm going to slip right out the back door and not come back. If you're watching and you're from Becker County Jail, just know that there's not another door there, okay? The way out, you'd have to go clear across the stage, and then there's not one over there anymore either. He could have done that, though, and then if the jail system had tracked him down, would that be persecution for his faith? No, it'd be justice for stupidity, right? Boy, can I say that in church? You know, sometimes we do dumb things. Caleb, my son Caleb, says this a lot. His kids are going to quote him forever on this. You know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Sometimes we do dumb things and we need a spanking for it. We need somebody to correct us. We need to walk in righteousness, especially if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, look, when you follow Jesus and you decide that you're going to let God change your heart and you're going to do all these, now you want to do some good things, okay? Now Todd wants to stand up for what's right. He wants to stand up for that. And Peter's saying, look, nobody's going to bother you for doing that. But if they do, make sure that you keep heart. You keep your Christ set aside in your heart. Don't blame God for it. Make sure you revere Christ. Make sure you set him aside. Make sure you say, you know what, God, I know that this is not about you. And furthermore, as we read, just a couple of verses later in verse 17, it says, but if it is God's will for you to suffer. Now I want to take you to some place that Christians don't like to go, okay? Sometimes, God is going to allow you to suffer because he has a greater plan. Now, this is not real common in Christianity today. We don't like talking about that. What we like talking about is if you put your tithe check in the offering, and if you come every week, and if you serve in children's ministry, and if you do this, and if you do that, and if you do all of these things, then God's just going to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Well, that's true. He does do that. But sometimes God wants to use you for a purpose greater than what you see in front of you. And he may choose to allow you to go through some persecution so that you can be light in a dark place. I just want that to sink in for a minute. Because we don't like that. Well, I did all the ABCs. I did everything right. I did everything just like I was supposed to. So did Jesus. In case you're wondering, most of the apostles did not die a happy life on an island with a big house and a boat. But they didn't get all, even though they followed Christ. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Peter, the Peter that we're talking about right now, church tradition says that he was crucified and he found it, he couldn't stomach the fact that he would be killed in the same way that Jesus was, so he was crucified upside down, or at least in an X shape, sideways. Because he did something wrong? Because there was sin in his life? Oh, Pastor, there had to be sin in his life. Listen, sometimes you're going to go through some things in your life because of your faith. Because of your faith. And God's going to allow that. But why? See, here's the deal. If we get so wrapped up in my life, and if it's all about me, then it's like, oh, God, what happened? How come you're not there? You know what he's saying the whole time? Grow up, man. I want to use you in this situation. I want to use you. You set me apart. You sanctify me. You honor me. You honor me in the midst of this, and I'm telling you, glory is going to come out of it. Not for you, but for me, for the Father. So much so that it might bring somebody else to Christ. If you don't believe it, start reading books of martyrs. Start reading about the martyrs of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Start reading about martyrs in the faith that are modern-day martyrs. Sit down with Scott Eiley for an hour. He'll give you about four of them just in an hour. He could give you more, but he can't get through their story in less time. Start looking at what some of these martyrs have gone through for the gospel. God uses that. So he tells Peter, if for some reason, as Peter's telling us, if for some reason you go through some particular bad stuff because of the gospel, not because Tim does dumb things. I just got a speeding ticket the other day. Guess what? That didn't have nothing to do with the bumper sticker on my truck that said, you know, follow me to church. It doesn't. But my shirt said, don't laugh, I'm a pastor. I think that's the shirt I had on. That speeding ticket had nothing to do with the gospel. It had everything to do with my lead foot. Nothing to do with the gospel. I can't say I was persecuted. I can't blame anybody. I can't even blame the officer because he legitimately caught me going 20 miles over. Okay, yeah, ooh. If you want to know what that costs, talk to me later on. It ain't good, all right? Yeah, everybody, ooh. After telling the believers to be kind and be compassionate and to love one another, Peter goes on to tell them, nobody's going to harm you, but if they do, if you suffer for good, suffer in an honorable way. Suffer in a way that's worthy of the calling that God has placed on your life. Suffer like you really believe all those things that you just told your friends about Jesus. Right? Because that's the deal. You go out and witness to people. You tell people about Jesus. All of a sudden, a little bit of suffering comes our way, and we're not sure that we really believe it anymore. Look, trials are great for us, folks. Trials are great because they tell us, they reveal to us what we really do believe. Jesus, in fact, Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I could ask you coming in or walking out of this place, how many of you want to participate in the kingdom of heaven today? How many of you really want to see the kingdom of heaven? And everybody's like, yeah, hook me up. That's great. I want to participate in that. Well, guess what? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because you get the kingdom of heaven. Not sure I want to sign up for that anymore, Pastor. Not sure that I want that persecution. Blessed are you when people insult you, they persecute you falsely, and they say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Most of us don't look at life this way, right? Yet Peter goes on to tell most of us, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled by their threats. Don't worry about what they can do to you. As a matter of fact, Jesus in his own words says in Matthew 28, don't be afraid of those who, Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So don't be afraid of somebody threatening you. The worst that they could do is beat you up, right? Beat you up, maybe take your birthday away. You'll get it. Sooner or later, you'll get it. But they can't take away your soul. They can't kill that. We need to stand for the gospel. Now, we live in a country where we're incredibly blessed. Our nation was founded on scripture. It was founded on moral principles. It was founded on godly men and women who were trying to serve. They came here for religious convictions. I believe that it was founded for the right things. But the farther we go in our nation, the farther we get away from God, right? How many of you know we're not exactly walking really close to Jesus now in our capital and in our government and in some business things or stuff that's going on? Peter says, if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, if you set Christ, see, here's the deal. I think back in the day when our nation was founded, we were really one people. We had one thought, one hope, one direction. But we're not that anymore. As a nation, we're divided. There's a chasm. We've got people here who want to serve God, who want to be going after righteousness, and we have people on the other side who want to go after the things of the flesh. They want to go after their, they want it their way. And that line is getting greater and greater and greater all the time, right? Right? That line is, that divide is greater. And there's going to come a day when those who want to seek God's righteousness, who want to seek God first, who want to be after God first, are going to be pushed to such a place that you're going to have to make a decision. I think it happens in businesses now. I think it happens in school systems now. I think it happens in universities now. You look at some of the crazy things that are protested on a regular basis, and it's like, what is your foundation for that? What's the foundation? Is it just a feel-good thing? Peter says, reserve Christ in your heart. It means let God take center stage in your life. Live for him and live for him alone. There are people around us that have no idea or no concept. There are people around us that have no concept of our hope. What makes you so happy? How come you're always smiling? Peter says, be ready to give an account for that. Are you ready to give an account for that? How come you're always smiling? How come you always, what's going on in your life? Well, let me tell you what's going on in my life. I have hope. I have peace. I have joy. You know, there are people that we're around all the time that have none of that. Can you imagine going through our world on a regular basis with no hope? With no joy? Cool Hand Luke was the movie back in the 70s, late 70s, I think. Robert Redford, I think, was the dude. He was... Paul Newman. Okay, there are people older than I am. Jeff's not older than I am. Anyhow, he had to take a bunch of bricks, if I think it was, or a load of rocks, whatever it is, and he had to move it from here over to here. And then when he got them all moved, he had to take that bunch of rocks and move them from there back over to here. And then he had to move them back. What's the purpose? One purpose and one purpose only. Break him down. Break him down. Take away his hope. Take away his joy. Take away, why am I doing it? Give me something that's worth doing. Look, folks, we've got a purpose in life. I said 2 weeks ago, God has created each one of us on purpose for a purpose. We need to discover that. We need to walk in that, because there's going to come a time, if you don't have that in you, you're going to be very tempted to fall. You're going to be very tempted to go, it's just not worth it. Peter says, make Christ special in your heart. Set aside a place for him. And when you answer somebody, when somebody asks you, why do you have so much joy in your life? Don't be antagonistic. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant. But be ready to tell them. There's somebody in this church, I won't name names, but there's somebody in this church who just got this email. Persecution, it really was persecution. Well, why did you say that? Well, because so-and-so is going to die, and at least we know he's in a good place. Well, why did you say that? Because he believes in Jesus. Well, how do you know that there's heaven for him? Blah, blah, blah. Well, then how come there's not heaven for everybody? Well, because there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. Now you're judging. Matthew says don't judge. Back and forth and back and forth. It was like a tennis match. And in the end, the person who was pushing this person from our church said, well, if you believe that, you need to get a different Bible, because I have friends who read a different Bible than that, and they're not judging. Everybody's going to go to heaven. And you should probably go to a different church. Or else, you need to set Christ aside in your heart. I think the end was, I'm just trying to push your buttons. He's like, you didn't push my buttons. I'm good. Because we know the truth. Truth will set you free. Sometimes we're going to get persecuted for what we believe in our own families. Right? In our own families, in our own household. Peter says, make sure you don't repay evil for evil. Make sure that you don't equate your suffering. This is important for us. Make sure that you don't equate your suffering and always believe that just because you've done something wrong that God has left you. If you've done something wrong, expect it, okay? Don't be surprised. Somebody asked me, well, did you try to negotiate with the cop when he pulled you over for that speed. No, I pretty much deserved it. Well, you might have been able to, I just pretty much was, I got what I deserved. That's kind of the way that was. Well, when somebody brings persecution your way, and I believe that we're going to see more of that, folks. I believe we're going to see more of it. You're seeing it all around. You're seeing it all around. When more of that comes our way, we have to make sure that we don't jump immediately and say, oh God, what did I do wrong? Maybe it's, oh God, how do you want to use me in this? How can I just declare the truth peacefully? That may really rub somebody the wrong way, but maybe it's because maybe, the Holy Spirit's been working in this person over here for a long time. And they've been seeing this Christian thing, and they're not sure that they like it, because it means they got to lay down their own life. And they really don't like the fact that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And they really don't. But maybe the Holy Spirit's been working on them for 6 months, or a year, or 5 years. How many of you know it took more than maybe 6 months for you to come to Christ once somebody started praying for you? I mean, it took some of us a while. Some of us are not really necessarily own up to that. But some of us, it took a while. Maybe God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is working on them, and they need to see that somebody really, really believes what the Word says is true, and they can take a punch in Jesus' name instead of give one. I'm not talking physical, maybe, but that they could take a hit, and it's not going to rock their faith. That they could take a hit, and that this faith is deeper than just surface. Peter goes on. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and he made the proclamation to the imprisoned spirits." We'll touch on that just a little bit. "To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And in it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the waters. And this water symbolized the baptism that now saves you also. So the removal, not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge to a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with the angels and authorities and powers of submission to him." Peter goes on and he says, look, the reason that we should be willing to undergo some suffering at the hands of those who oppose us or oppose Christ or persecute us is because of our faith in Jesus. Jesus, for us, although he was just, he suffered on behalf of unjust people like us. Though he was perfectly righteous, he suffered for unrighteous people. Though he was perfectly sinless, he suffered for those of us who are sinful. Jesus did all of that. And because of that, we should certainly be willing to suffer a little bit for the gospel. Do you believe that? I've had people who have stood up for me at one time or another. Somebody has said something negative, and because they know me, they're willing to put their reputation on the line and stand up and say, you know what, Tim wouldn't do that. There's no way. That just wouldn't happen. If it's been a mistake, you've got to figure this out. Jesus is saying the same thing. You know what I've done on your behalf. You know, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, you should expect to be blessed and highly favored and never have any problems, right? We get to walk in that, but he said, you should expect persecution. They persecuted me. You should expect some persecution. I don't know how we get so far away from what the scriptures say here. But the hope in our salvation. I mean, the greatest part about the death of Jesus is that's not where it ended. That's not where the gospel ended. It didn't end the day that he died. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that he descended from there into hell. His spirit descended into hell. and he preached the good news of repentance to those who did not hear, who hadn't seen him yet, those who died in faith previous to him. Before, I'm going to get into a little bit of a theology here. I want you to understand this. Previous to Jesus, when people died, they went to a holding place. Their souls went to a holding place. Sheol and Hades is kind of the best way to describe it. There was a place of blessing, and there was a place of torment. But those places were set up in a spirit realm. They're set up, and they had not yet heard the gospel. There was still a holding place. There was still a holding place for those souls. And Jesus went down after he died on the cross. He went down, and for 3 days, he preached in hell, to give those people the opportunity to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. I've preached this wrong for years. For years I preached, hell must have been so bad that Jesus paid for everybody's sins in just 3 days. No, that's not what it's all about. When Jesus died on the cross, he said it's finished. He already took the wrath of God on the cross. Now he went down and he preached to those. So you, well, what about people who don't get a chance to hear about Christ? They got a chance. They got a chance to hear about Christ. And the Bible says when Jesus rose from the grave, there are hundreds of people that rose with him. Man alive. If you haven't read that, you need to go back and read the end of the Gospels. But Jesus, he preached to those dead souls and they came back to life. They had the opportunity. There's just so much that I'm going to close with this thought. We were at a seminar last week, week before last, and one of the speakers talked about transformation. He talked about change in our life. You know, here's the deal. When we're transformed, it really doesn't make any difference what we go through. How many of you remember Monty Hall and Let's Make a Deal? So those people that are older than 60 or thereabouts, you find somebody younger. Well, just explain it to Raymond and anybody who's younger than Raymond. Monty Hall had these three curtains, and he's trying to make a deal, and he'd walk up and say, hey, do you have a cigarette lighter in your purse? Later, go, yeah, sure, you know, I'll give you $50 for that. Or you got this? Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, I don't exactly remember how they got to where they're making a deal on stage, but then you got to choose. You know, curtain number one, curtain number two, curtain number three, and nobody knew what was behind these curtains. You didn't know. So I'll take curtain number one. Are you sure you want curtain number one? I'll give you a chance. Curtain number one. You want curtain number one? No. I want curtain number two. Okay, curtain number two. You want to stay with curtain? I'm going to stay with curtain number two. All right, let's reveal what's behind curtain number one. A new car! Now, do you still want curtain number two? Well, I really want curtain number one. Well, you can't go back to that. But do you want curtain number two or do you want curtain number three? Because in one of those places, there's a wheelbarrow full of cow manure, you know, and one of them is a trip. Ooh, that hooked my coat. When he opened that curtain, he revealed what was behind there. He revealed, wow, this is great. There's something that's amazing behind that. And all you had to do was claim it. If you had to claim it first, in this case, I want number two, I'm going to stay with number two, I don't care what I'm wanting, number two, okay, then you get what's behind number two. We walk in a different place with the Lord. You see, we get the opportunity through our relationship with Jesus Christ, and maybe through prayer, maybe through worship, maybe through the preaching of the word, maybe through a little bit of fellowship, maybe through times of discipleship or correction, we get the opportunity to have God reveal things to us. Like, I get to walk in that. There's something fantastic that God would have. There is peace for us. There's joy for us. There's hope for us. We get to walk in that. How do we do that? How do we do that? What actually creates, you know, maybe you're that guy who walks around all life and you're like, well, you know, I don't know. Kind of like Eeyore. Well, I don't know. Could be worse, I guess, but it's pretty bad. I don't know. And God's like, I want you to walk in some joy. I want you to have some peace. I don't know. That's for some people, but it might not be for me. I don't know. I guess it's life just always going to be this way. I don't know. And you hear about this great joy that you can have. You go, what do I got to do to get there? I don't know. You got to claim it. You got to obey it. You got to walk in that truth. What does the word say? God says he's going to give you joy. What do you got to do? Grab a hold of it. You got to obey it when God reveals something to you. So this morning, maybe you're sitting here and you're going, you know, I'm a little pushed at work. I got people who kind of pick on me and I'm not really sure what to do with it. I'll tell you what to do with it. Set Christ aside in your heart. Believe that he has put you there for a reason. Walk in that confidence and boldness and let it happen. Because when you do that, it creates transformation in your life. You want to go from being Eeyore, I don't really know, to Raymond over here, unspeakable joy. How are you going to get from there to here? You've got to walk in that truth. You've got to begin to obey what God's word says. If it tells you to set aside those things that so easily beset you, set aside those sins that so easily take you off track, you know what you need to do? Set aside those sins. Well, Pastor, but I really don't know if I don't really know. Well, then plan on staying over here, right? If we want transformation in our life, so what we learned at this class, you could put three big circles on the page. One over here says revelation. Somehow God revealed something to my spirit. He revealed something. When I read his word, when we're talking, he revealed to me that I can overcome sin. He revealed that to me. The second circle with an arrow leading to it says obedience. Well, obey what? Well, I got to obey his word. I got to obey what his word says. And that leads us to the third circle, which is transformation. I want to change. I want to be different than who I am. Well, guess what? Set Christ aside in your heart. Grab a hold of that truth. It's just a little bit of persecution. It's just a little bit of persecution. I've had people pick on me because of my faith, but I've never had anybody punch me. I've never had anybody crucify me. I've never had anybody. So what? You know, so often we're ready to lay our faith down for people that just, they don't care about us. Right? One guy said, the best way to not let somebody get your goat is to kill your goat. I'm just trying to get your goat. I don't care. I let that goat go a long time ago. But here, you want to know why I've got some joy? This is why I got some joy. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my... Why? Because of what Jesus did for me. Because of what Jesus did for me. Not because of anything I did. Well, how can you walk in peace? How can you be in so much peace? Because Jesus already paid the price. How many of you know this whole world's going to fade away? There's nothing here on earth. There's nothing. There's nothing for us. We get so wrapped up in things, having things. I got to look at Marketplace. I got to look at eBay. I got to look at this. I got to have. It's all going to burn. That's what the Bible says. If you struggle with material things, you struggle with wanting to have material things, get yourself a pack of sticky notes. And write on every one of them, it's going to burn. And then just stick it on that. Put it on the dash of your car. Put it on the four-wheeler. It's going to burn anyhow. It doesn't make any difference. Put it on your new piano or your new drums or your new guitar and new fishing rod. Ooh, got to have a fishing rod. It's all going to burn anyhow. I won't say anything about golf clubs. Yeah, they're going to burn too. It's all going to burn. In the scope of eternity, what does it matter? It doesn't. It doesn't matter. Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. Right? Does my swing off the third tee box, is there any hope of glory in that? No. Not if you've ever seen me swing a golf club. There ain't no glory in that. For the Minnesota Vikings, just who cares? Who cares? The Minnesota Vikings ever saved anybody? No. No. Right? Christ in us is the hope of glory. Peter says, there's going to come a time when you might get persecuted, and that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about just a little bit of persecution. It's not going to change anything. One more. That was going to be the end, but one more. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, because of all of this, therefore, because of what Christ did, therefore, because he paid for all that, because I'm giving you, so you're going to get picked on a little bit. There, don't worry about any of that. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. I can't even get into this. Here, just get this right. That's a whole nother week. Just get this right. Get this set in your attitude. Get your attitude aligned to this. If I'm going to follow Christ, maybe you should even say that with me. If I'm going to follow Christ, there's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some persecution. If I follow Christ, there's going to be some persecution. Get that attitude in your heart right now, today. If you don't walk out, you're like, well, Pastor, I came here to get encouraged. I want to encourage you to know that if you follow Christ, there's going to be some persecution. You can be encouraged in that. It's going to happen. If you follow Christ, Todd, when you leave here and you go to try to hook up in a new place, or you're going to end up at a new, expect a little persecution. Why? Because the devil does not want your faith to increase. But maybe that persecution is there, just maybe that persecution is there to encourage somebody else. I'm going to close now, or I'm going to keep on preaching. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your word. If there's any revelation in this word today, God, if there's any revelation, I pray, God, you'd help us to walk it out, to walk the truth, to obey you in it. Yeah, there's some persecution coming. That's okay. What we're going to do is we're going to set Christ aside in our heart as special. We're going to sanctify him. We're going to know that it is about him. It's not about me. And Lord, we pray for transformation in our lives. On the other side of it, we can walk out joyful. We can walk out filled with peace. We can still walk out Stephen and Stephen's stoning. God, he's getting stoned and he's looking right at you. He's like, forgive him. Forgive him, Father. Just forgive him. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We just ask you, I ask you, Father, to minister to each heart here, to bless each person. Each person who's watching online. Change us, transform us through the obedience of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.